and going back to the 8th chapter of Romans. And God willing, we're going to be picking it up there in the 29th verse. But I thank the Lord, and it just give him such praise and thanks that I really believe that we're just going to rejoice in new heights of glory this evening in this 8th chapter. And I really want to begin, as the Lord has encouraged my heart tonight, in this encouragement as I traveled and really just sweeping over my heart these thoughts that I know that the Holy Ghost was ministering and just more light upon light. But, you know, beginning there in the 17th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans and going back and reading that precious invitation to us that, you know, all of the saints are children of God. Everyone who has accepted Christ Jesus as Savior is born again. And I thank God that they are children of the King. And as it says there in the 17th verse, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. And here's where it all changes, praise God. And joint heirs. Isn't that wonderful? Joint heirs. That wonderful word, sunkleronimus. You find it right over there in Ephesians chapter 3, where he tells us that now the saved Gentiles should be fellow heirs, sunkleronimus, joint heirs as husband and wife. That's exactly what this means. So here we go, that we should be joint heirs as husband with a wife, with Christ Jesus. But here it is, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, brothers and sisters, that's the man, praise God, I hope to be. Amen? That's, praise God, when Paul was taken up into that third heaven, and he saw that man that God has intended him to be, grow up into. He said, I glory in that man. That's the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's that wonderful son that has grown into full maturity. And see what God has laid out here for us, starting in that 17th verse. And I love it because God's faithful. He's so bold. He brings us to the heights of his love and his aspiration for us. Let it be known, praise God, what he's saying. My heart is fully open to you. He lets us know assuredly, brothers and sisters, that the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is what he wants for you. Amen. 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 I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Complete. Exact. That filled with all the fullness of God. And praise God, this is what he wants for us. And his full backing is all there for us to be fully purposed for it. See, brothers and sisters, we get sometimes in a quandary. We get in despair when we start to rely upon our desire to go on with God. Because you know what I found out, and I'll testify? My desire wanes. My desire can be hit and miss. My desire often is predicated on how I feel. Are things good or are things bad? Do people really like me, or are they starting to say some bad things? Huh? Is this Christianity really? I mean, I know the Lord loves me, but man, this is rough. Huh? See, brothers and sisters, this is his backing. This is his plan. This is his purpose. This is his provision. This is his power. And he gives it so freely to us to be fully purposed in it. And praise God, it's all ours by merely believing in his great love for us. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's what grace is. It's just believing in that incredible love that is for us. Hallelujah. And as we're going to rejoice even more so tonight, not just for us, that incredible love because Christ lives in me, that love that's in us. Hallelujah. That precious power. And that's the amazing thing here. And what God was really dealing with my heart about is he takes us to the heights first. He really does. He takes us right there in Romans 8:17. Joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Glorified together with me. This is what I want for you. The pinnacle of growth of a son praise God, and praise the Lord of his Son in us. And then from there, he brings it back, almost kind of in a reverse order, from what he sees for us in glory, brothers and sisters, to the verse that we spoke of last week. He brings us back to our now and our secure and infinite backing that he is always there performing the good work which he's begun. That he is always there performing according to his will. And how are we assured of that? That was Romans 8:28 as we read that. And we know. Do you know this? Is this something that you intimately know? This is the knowledge, again, not just knowledge here. This is the knowledge that the Word of God brings out, the knowledge of a husband and a wife, knowing that kind of backing, knowing that kind of oneness. And we know. See, you can't really say that by the grace of God until you start to have him strum across your heart. I want my bridegroom. It changes. You know that he is for you. You know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And again, we brought that out last week. That's the agape love. Not the filial. The agape, the divine. Not just, well, I love you. I know we're good friends. This is agape. This is that divine. This is, again, the knowledge of the husband and wife. All of that precious pinnacle of love that was poured out in that 17th verse. Joint heirs together with me. Husband and wife glorified together in the midst of my throne. Hallelujah. So we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now see right there, brothers and sisters, he is confirming to us that his power is not only behind us, but it's in us. It's in us. In that life of his Son. And then finally, so he's brought us from the pinnacle, meaning what he sees for us to be someday with him, in the heights of that glory, glorified together with him, brings us kind of back to where we are right now, showing us, honeys, I've got this. Trust me, love me. I'm working it all together for your good. There's a pattern that I am weaving in your life, that it's perfection. It's a masterpiece. It's all grace. And then finally, he brings us to this 29th verse, and it's the past. What he saw in us in Christ in ages past. He saw this plan completely finished in his Son. He saw this provision. He saw, and praise God, all of this power, praise the Lord, that was all in his Son. And how he works this, brothers and sisters, is so wonderful. The heights of the man I hope to be, the constant backing of the man that I am, and the love that now, praise God, met me in ages past. The reason, really, that we truly believe and lay hold of Romans 8:28 and know that all things work together for our good. Verse 29, let's read it. For whom he did foreknow. That's you in Christ. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Praise God. I think what a father here. What an amazing love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, obedient and appreciating and loving children take all that the Father will give them. I was even thinking of that in the natural. You know, there's good parents. There are some really good parents. Praise be to God. I believe there's some in here. And you want to provide for your children. And you can do everything for them. You can have it all laid up and laid out and be behind them and encouraging them all the way. But unless that child will take it, and take it fully, they'll squander the opportunity of what good parents have laid out for them. And that's the truth. Just because there's good parents doesn't mean that that child is going to take every thing that was offered to him, every bit of that fortunate opportunity to have that kind of backing and that kind of love in a home. And that's called a disobedient child. That's often called a spoiled child. That's called a child that often is selfish. I know better. My feelings are more important. I need to go out and do my whim first, even though the wisdom has told me to go this way. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly, in a way, what we have here with what God has brought to us, and hopefully that we awaken to. Whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. See, the precious foreknowledge of us in Christ, brothers and sisters. And this is not us, in a sense, as individuals, as sometimes we would like to think. But this is the only way that God could see us. It was in his Son. The only way that he could look upon us, brothers and sisters, is in his Son. God cannot look upon sin in any degree. That's why he had to give the life of his Son. That's why, as he sees us in ages past, it has to be in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, has always been and always will be. Everything that God will see and God will invest in is his Son. Hallelujah. And he's freely given him all to us. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. So this immediately then, and we've talked about this and had sermons about it, it rules out those that want to say, oh, well, God chose some and God didn't choose others. You know, he just picked me out and didn't pick that one out and those types of things. Let me tell you something. His choosing was only in one, and that one is his Son. That's it. That's it. And that's why the Word of God says, I would that all men be saved. Amen. It says that God is not a respecter of person. The new man, the born of God, is in one life, and that is his Son. Praise the Lord. See, our boast is only in the cross. Our boast, praise God, is only in the life of the Son of God. That's the beauty. That's the unity of the Spirit. That's that bond of perfectness, praise God, is the life of Jesus Christ. That's the love. Hallelujah. That's, again, what brings us into that harmony with what God wants in our lives, in our homes, and praise God, in a meeting. It's because we glory save in the cross. The magnifying is to one and one only, and that's to the Son. Hallelujah. And how simple it is, and how wonderful, praise God, as the Father has given him so freely, and what Christ has done for us. What a privilege it is to praise the Lord. Amen? It's a privilege. I thank God. The family of God is a privilege. I love it. I thank the Lord. How wonderful this precious blood of Jesus has brought us into the fold, and how wonderful he is. But never forget the word in this precious verse, 29, where it says there, conformed. And look at that again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. And that word conformed means the very same image of his Son. I love how the Word of God says, and how do we grow into that fullness of the image of his Son from glory to glory? Isn't that wonderful? And thanking the Lord again. And all that glory is growing in grace, that's glory, and in the knowledge, that's glory, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's the glory. And I thank the Lord that, again, it is all him and that life that is in us. So see, we are vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. And we praise him because, praise God, he's brought many sons to glory. And we grow up in that. And we grow up into him, the Word of God says, into all things. And you see here, as it says in the end of that 29th verse, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, for him to be the firstborn, he has to have brethren. Isn't that wonderful? See, for him to be the firstborn, he has to have brethren. So in that, brothers and sisters, that's who we are to him. He calls us brethren. We have that kind of fellowship with him, and we are sons to the Father. And all I can think about when those things come to pass in my heart, and as God sweeps over that love and grace that he gave to us, it truly does. It leaves me speechless. Lord, you love me like that. You've brought me into that kind of fellowship. How many people know the Lord like that? And I'm talking about God's precious people. You can't even call upon God without the name Jesus. So we're talking about God's precious people. They're still thinking of this big eye looking at them, just waiting to give them a big pounding that they haven't been able to keep something. You know that. Many people that are in this meeting here tonight, you came out of a fearful way to God. Sure, we fear him in a sense of reverence, that we stand in the awe of God. But as we believe him and as we understand how we come to him in the life of his son, that now are we the sons of God. I don't come to him fearfully. I come to him boldly. I come to him boldly in his love that he loves me with. That's my Father, truly. Abba, Father, that's my dad. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that he loves me. I know he loves me. There's no doubt that he loves me. You see, brothers and sisters, this is who we are to him. And notice here, it doesn't stop there, as the word of God never just stops. I'll tell you, it just keeps on going. But in verse 30, the word moreover. And what an appropriate word for the time that we live in, moreover. It means much the more than, much the more than. And we do live in the time of the much more. Do you know that? We do. A lot of people think, oh, I know it all. I'll just sit back and wait. Well, you miss the much more. From glory to glory, and glory to glory, and glory to glory, into his image. Don't stop parked at the last glory. He's got another one. You got to lay that trophy down. Go on to the next glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is what he has for us. This is what this fellowship is. And we thank God for this. But in verse 30, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, I believe he's talking about us, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That means to be clothed with splendor. I love that. That's beautiful stuff right there, brothers and sisters. But this is who we are to him. And you talk about the perfection in this divine plan of the sons in Christ, whom he foreknew, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Brothers and sisters, he deals with us as sons. Amen? See, many people want to go, well, he deals with me as a servant. No, he doesn't. You may act like that. But he deals with you, praise God, if you'll endure chastening as a son. And that's what's so wonderful, as his son. And it's interesting, and I thank the Lord how he gives us so many precious natural applications of this. I know that in some respects, boy, did I have a dad in the natural. Wonderful dad. A dad of dads. So for his children. So much. Well, his whole life was given to his kids. I'm just telling you that. I thank the Lord how much love was in our home and how much my mom and my dad gave to us. In some respects, because there was so much given, there's also so much required. To whom much is given, much is required. And it's not that you owe. That's not it, because you don't owe anything because the debt's been paid. Praise God. But I'm talking about how much has been given, meaning for the growth to come forth in your life. Huh? And I know that sometimes people would look at that, and if you looked at it in the natural, sometimes you think, oh man, that's just so much to be expected. It'd be kind of hard being his son. Hmm? No. No. Wonderful. And thank God. You talk about a gardener. You talk about one that had tools and would go out and rake and tend to that garden, grow those little plants up and things of that nature. Brothers and sisters, how much more so is our God. This is what's so wonderful here, is this is His love to us. He deals with us as His Son. It's the life of Christ in us, brothers and sisters. That is our life, and that is what God is dealing with when He deals with us, is the life of His Son in us. How wonderful. How wonderful. That's what makes this next verse 31 even so much more beautiful to us, that we can understand the reality of it when He says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us?" Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to read a verse and understand the chapter? I mean, it's wonderful to hear, if God be for us, who can be against us? But because of what we've been reading all throughout Romans and understanding rightfully dividing the Word of God, it's because He can't deny Himself. It's because of the life of Jesus lives in you, that God deals with us as He's dealing with His Son, as He's interacting with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what's so beautiful and so beyond, that He is as for me, He is as for me as He is for His Son Jesus, because that life lives in me. There's no difference. I am now a son of God. I'm looking at the sons of God. You know what's required of us? It's to embrace that you're His son. To embrace that life lives in you. That the life that you now live is by the faith of the Son of God. That I go boldly to the throne of grace because the Father receives me as His Son. The Father is receiving me because Christ liveth in me. Is that sinking in? It's not just because God loves you. It's because the life of His Son lives in you. That's a whole different, I couldn't even say a whole different universe. That's who you are to Him. There's one life, that's His Son. It's the very body of His Son. Hallelujah. Now, by His grace, brothers and sisters, we need to embrace the reality of this truth, that our life is Christ in us. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory, and God treasures the life of Christ in you. That's His treasure. We are the inheritance of God, aren't we? Isn't that what the Word says? And let me tell you something. He is fully invested in us. And that is why we have His full attention. I know oftentimes we tease a little bit. Man, I'd like just a little reprieve. Just a wee bit. That will never happen. That will never happen. Not only is His eye upon you, you're in His hand. And you're not ever going to leave. You don't ever want to. I know that. But it's so wonderful. Because that is our omnipotent, omnipresent God that is always for us, that will withhold nothing good from us. That intensity, and I'm talking about intensity, of that He is for you, He wants the best for you. He's not just talking here. He started out by telling us, like we started tonight, He's got a vision for you. All good parents really have a vision for their kids. Anymore, it's, well, just kind of let them grow up. No. No, you train them up. You train them up. You tend to that precious little herb that's going to grow. Amen? There's a vision. Hallelujah. God has a vision for you. And it's one thing, and that's to win. To win. He didn't want you to run in the race as one that beats the air. So he didn't want you to, well, just give it a good try. Nope. As my brother used to tease me all the time. Yeah, you got second? Well, that's just like second to last. What a brother. He wants you to win. Praise God. And he's made you to win. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And he's given you the ability. Matter of fact, he's won the victory. Matter of fact, the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I believe he's laying it out that, yes, I have this vision for you, but I didn't just drop you out there and say, okay, now figure it out. This is the God that said, oh no, I've got a plan. Here's my vision. And now I'm going to show you, but in this plan, I've provided everything. Everything. And matter of fact, I'm going to give you all the purpose for you to be fully purposed. If you'll just trust me, take that grace. Not only am I going to give you the fire, I'm going to fuel the fire. I'm going to give you the very power of my might. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's been with you, and he shall be in you. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a motor. You talk about a runner. You talk about a Philippian horse. You talk about spit a flying and eyes just glazed upon that finish line. I'm going to win. Praise God. That's what you have. Now, we look around here tonight. I don't think anybody feels like it. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Because it's not going to be by feeling. You're not going to win this by feeling. You're going to win this by faith, by trusting God that he's done this, that this is his. This wasn't your idea. Isn't that something? This is brought to you of God. He circled you out. You didn't find him, praise God. He found you. Grace met you. Grace meets you always. And it carries you along. Praise the Lord. All right now. I believe we're starting to believe it a little bit more. So now, brothers and sisters, we can believe that it's impossible for anything to stand against this will. I'm talking about the love, the power of the love of God. And our fight is faith, isn't it? Isn't it faith? And faith, our fight is just to believe. Isn't that something? Believe what's already been given. Just like he told the Israelites. Go walk throughout all the land. I gave it to you. But what was happening, they weren't even going to enter in, and most of them didn't. Matter of fact, but two of the ones that were over that age, but they didn't enter in because of what? Unbelief. God had already given it, and all they could see were giants there. And sure, there were giants there because God wanted to test their faith. God wanted them to go on in to the look of impossible, because that's God's specialty every time. Now watch me, mountain be removed, and it's gone. I told you, I gave you this. Step out in faith. And that's all that he has asked us, praise God, is to believe him, to believe in this incredible plan, to believe in the purpose, to believe in the provision, and believe in all that power that he freely gives us in the life of his Son that lives in us. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, in this life, it is all inclusive, isn't it? The Word of God tells us that there is nothing lacking, that this is the God of all in all. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. I need to be encouraged in this moment by moment. I don't know about you, but moment by moment, because I am quick to unbelief. I got flesh. Yep. And I know But praise God, there is a spirit that is wonderfully willing. But see, there's nothing lacking. We have the all in all. We are little lords of all. And it's now time to be it and to live it, to grow up into all of it, to walk in all the before-ordained good works that He has given to us, to that fullness, the stature, the measure. Think of these things that Christ has laid out for us, to the fullness, the stature, the measure of Christ, unto that perfect man, complete, fully finished. Amen. Amen. These aren't, you know, dreams of a somewhere. It's right in here. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. God's got it all if I'll just believe Him to perform it. Hallelujah. And ready to be offered a wife to the King. Now, verse 32. It reminds us again in the laying up of the life of His Son. And that's the proof, brothers and sisters, of all His love to us, because He gave His Son. That's it. That's how God did it. This is how God showed us. This is what God gave to us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him. Isn't that something? He delivered Him. Didn't just say, okay, you can have Him. No, He delivered Him. God had to do it willingly and joyfully. Son, as they spoke in ages past, you're going to bring many sons to glory. Huh? Oh my, how wonderful that conversation. Praise the Lord. Oh, the will of the Father and the Son. Praise His holy name. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My, oh my, oh my. Boy, that kind of just hits you right upside the heart. Whew! I get it now. I got sons. I wouldn't give them up. And I never, no one would ever have that son. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to that again. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And yet we murmur, don't we? And we think we don't have. And we think we need. And God has said, now wait a second. I gave you everything because I gave you my Son. You going? I'm going. By the grace of God, I'm going. Praise God for a father like that. Now, there's no more that He could give. Amen? Amen. That love in the gift of His Son is all the evidence we will ever need that He has freely given us all things. And I think about all things that He's given us. As I was smiling as we were going into an airport, He told me, you got friends, son. I gave you all these precious companions. I've given you exceeding, abundantly, and above, and all you ask or think. I love them companions. I love them friends. In all things, I got exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's our God. That's who He is. See, God will not and cannot withhold anything good from us. And why? Because we are His sons. He cannot deny Himself. And that is why we always, in all things, having all sufficiency, may superabound, praise God, to every good work. Man, He tells you something like that and you're quiet. Maybe you're just stunned. I just hope you're not just kind of teetering in the land of unbelief. You got to go on over. That land that's flowing with milk and honey. Huh? Oh, he'll have all these giants appointed for you as you go through. But you know that, praise God, nah, it is written. Nah, it is written. Nope, it is written. That's your life? Come on now. Better start writing checks on that bank account. Shame, shame to not be using all that. It's an infinite supply. Don't get stingy. Spend it. As Brother Hill used to say, you can't outspend God. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful of the wealth that's been given to my life in the Word of God. It's so real, it's so rich, it's so overflowing that you do, you just inhale, you breathe the gospel of Christ. It's so good. Praise His name. Now, you hear things like that, brothers and sisters. I want you to know this. Not only can we never lose in Christ, the victory has already been won. And here we go on as we wrap this up tonight. So, not only could anything be against us in His will, and not only do all things work together for good to them that love God, verse 33 goes on and says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I love that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for that. I thank God that my mind that wants to play guilty on me often, whom He has made free is free indeed. And oh, how that begins to grow that grace of God in my life, transforming me and conforming me, praise God, from glory to glory into His image. See, nothing could be laid to my charge because why? Because it's all been paid. If it's all been paid, it's paid. We heard this, what don't you understand about free? Well, can I give you something for it? No, it's free. Well, what do I owe you? Well, come on, man, it's free. You know, everything in this life, I'll tell you what, it costs a lot of money. I went on a trip and I was going, oh my goodness. I pumped my heart a couple times. And I just was smiling again as I read that night as I was going, woe is me. The debt's been paid. My forever is paid in full. The blood of Jesus satisfied every debt. The ransom. I'm justified by faith. Man, you talk about a blanket of grace. You talk about a rocking chair that you rest in. The grace of God. 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, I'll tell you what, this one really looks the devil square in the face, doesn't it? I like this. Who is he that condemneth? Get out of here. There's my intercessor. See, I know the old enemy. We know him. We're not ignorant of his devices. And what he wants to do all the time is lay our failures up against us. But no way. Because we're the elect of God. We're the elect. And I thank the Lord for that. That means chosen. We're picked out. I love this part of this meaning. The best of its kind. See, how far do you want to go with God? I want to go all the way. So I want to have him tell me, how do I love thee? Well, Lord, go on. Go on and count the ways. And this is how he does it. This is that line upon line and precept upon precept of the proposal of the love of God. And see, brothers and sisters, it's in that love that did this all so freely for us. And it did not, he did it not just freely, but he did it willingly. And he did it joyfully, lovingly, embraced it. Praise God. I've told you this many times, as I know that there was such, as the Word of God says, his visage was marred more than any man's. You think about how his flesh was torn and the blood, the beating, the thorns. I mean, it's just unimaginable. But all I could see at one time, God showed me that precious smile upon his face. Oh, the joy that's set before me. Father, I'm about to finish what we've always looked for and longed for and planned for. I'm going to finish it. You don't think there was joy in that? Oh, a joy that will go on for eternity. Oh, the love that causes my heart. It's that love. It's that love. It's the joy that was set before him. The joy, his love for me. That's the groaning in my heart. That's the groaning that's moment by moment in my life that causes the yielding and causes the praises to freely come from my lips because of his love for us. So finally, here's the song we sing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Stop there just for a second. When he talks about that in the 36th verse, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that naturally seem to be sitting right in front of us to defeat us. A lot of things that are right there that you know sitting in that pew tonight. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you think that, man, I'm done. But in his perfect will to us, all of those things are getting us ready to wear a crown. Praise God. To wear a wedding dress. Praise God. These are the things, the only things that could strengthen us and polish us up as the gems that will be laid in his crown, trimming us up all the way along to fit the wedding gown. So we can truly say in verse 7, oh yes, sure, thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God, more than conquerors. A conquering band. Hallelujah. How wonderful. The good soldiers enduring hardness. Oh, tattered and torn, beaten. Oh, my goodness. Little strength. Stay right there. Don't be moved. Pillars in the kingdom of God. Oh, yes. More than conquerors. And here's how we conquer. Because we're persuaded. And we're persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature. What that means, there is anything created, anything, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a disappointment that any child of God after reading that, could ever think that they could be separated from the love of God. What a disappointment. That's all I can say. But brothers and sisters, I read that and praise God for the song. It's mine, mine, all is mine. Oh, yes. We thank Him for this joy, don't we? And the joy is all one thing. I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. My joy in the Lord, praise God, is His love for me. His life in me. And as it says there, not just Christ at the right hand of God, brothers and sisters, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want you to know something. I'm so thankful that Jesus lives in me. Hallelujah. He lives in me. And that's why, praise God, that love will always remain. And that's why, praise God, that I can never be separated from it. My goodness, He started this out in the 8th chapter. There's no condemnation. And in that, praise be to God, there's no separation. The beauty, the simplicity of the depths and the width and the length and the breadth of His love for us and in us. And by grace, brothers and sisters, all He wants us to do is to know the love of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Know the love of Christ. Know this. Believe it intimately. Husband and wife knowledge. The heights of that love. Not only are you heirs of mine, children, but now put away the childish things. Those childish ways. And grow up. All of this privilege and advantage. Because now, praise God, you're born. My goodness. You're a child of the King. You're born of God. You just so happen to have the dad that's the God of all. My goodness. And not only that, but He put in you the DNA of the Son. Nothing lacking. You weren't the runt in the litter. You weren't the one that, well, He was missing a few. No. Can't go there. You got the life of His Son that lives in you. Now what you going to do with it? Huh? You're going to be that son that pleases Him. Obedient, thankful. That's all He wants. Praise. Just to grow up into what He's already given. Or are we going to be like children, spoiled, disobedient, selfish, and squander all that was given to us of the Father? God help us. God help us. Because if we'll just take it and grow up into what He's given, we're going to enter into the place of glorified together with Him. And I believe that there will be a rejoicing that will never end. That'll be beyond anything anybody's seen or heard or has entered into the hearts of men. What God has prepared for them that will enter into the midst of the throne in love with Him. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.